Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercials. Today is April 6, 2022. You're listening to Face Us Radio on Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio, The Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I am one of the co-hosts on the show tonight. Robin will be joining us here pretty soon. We do have Hillary Hogue is on there. Say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in with us every Wednesday. We're grateful for our listeners, and we are here to stop the corruption. We are here to stop the madness in every section of the court system, because if we don't do it now, it will just repeat itself with our children, and what is happening is wrong. So I am grateful to be here, and I thank our listeners. And again, it's going to be another phenomenal show. Thanks, Luann.
Yeah, it's going to be a phenomenal. Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot of information coming out tonight. We also have Marcy Friedman with us. Marcy, say hello to everyone.
Hi, America. Hi, everyone. And it is through what Hillary said. We have if inheritance has been stolen, I have an announcement to make. American United International, known as AUI, is an organization with a wide variety of groups that are casualties of the war against targeted people through the U.S. legal system abuse. One of the groups have had their inheritance stolen with the help of probate court judges. We are gathering our stories to share with the International Criminal Court. If your inheritance was stolen and you want to join us, get in touch with me, Luann, or Robin, and we'll connect you with Dr. Zena Crenshaw-Logal, who is coordinating our efforts for AUI. So hopefully this announcement, if your inheritance was stolen through the probate courts with the help of the probate judges, this will hopefully add some light to your hopes, and perhaps this is one of the ways that we can try to target and get our stories out there so we can get some relief from the redress that has happened. So thank you very much. There is hope. I feel hopeful. And
yes,
please do get in touch,
Marcy,
with you, Robin, and all of us. Thank you.
All right. A good announcement, and I'm glad you brought that up. We've been
Thank
working
you.
With AUI as well. We are three-tier ambassadors with them as well, and I think even Ed that's coming on our show, I think he's helping us too as well. We've got a phenomenal show tonight, everybody. Robin will be joining us here real soon. We are going to have a full radio show, of course, so please try not to talk over anyone. And if that happens, I will call out your names to speak. All of our radio shows are recorded and archived. We will be taking in calls from our listeners in about a good 45 minutes. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and I'll get to the first people that respond to that first. So I just wanted to let you know that. We've got a lot of exciting news here in Colorado. I mean, the phones have been just rocking in every direction. But I think I will announce all this at the end of the radio show. We want to get to our guests. We have a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot. And then I'll announce what I have to talk about later. So we are going to bring on Ed with us, Vallejo. He is with, he's with, hold on a second.
Americans Against Foreclosures.
I've got going on with my radio show. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get the speakers to go in.
Americans Against.
Hi, Ed.
Americans
Against Foreclosures. I had something come over my phone real quick, so I had to take a pause for a second. Sorry about that. But anyway, we do have Ed Vallejo here with us. He is with Americans Against Foreclosures, and I know that we also have a retired attorney, Kenneth Ditkowski, coming on as well. He's 85 years old, everybody. This man has been around the block a few times. So I just wanted to bring Ed on, and I'm trying to still find his phone number on here to bring him in as well. But, Ed, I'd like for you to start us off
and talk about
what that would be about tonight, okay?
Thank you so much for the introduction, Luann. I'm so happy to be here on this radio show. Since last week, I think this was the first time I've been on, our member base has just exploded. We've been getting calls from all over the United States, not only Colorado. We've gotten probably half from Colorado, and then the others have come from different parts of the United States, new members that are, you know, willing to join Americans Against Foreclosures and all work together with your radio show, Luann, and everybody here involved to help homeowners save their homes from unlawful foreclosures and evictions. And I'd like to, see if Ken is on. Ken Ditkowski, he and I have spoken a couple of times, and we back and forth emails all the time, and we're in constant contact regarding all the issues with the elderly, especially. I know he's handling a few cases himself, but he's retired. I don't know how long he's been retired now, but he's really not, because he's involved and he's helping everyone he can. He's doing it altruistically. So I don't know if Ken's on, Luann. Maybe we should start with Ken and have him tell us.
All right, can you give me his area code, the beginning of his area code? And if you are Ken on, please press a 1 so I know that your hand is raised. And that will alert me that you're our guest for tonight. I'm just waiting for him to call into the show and to press a 1, if he could do that for me. And remember, the phone number to do that is 855-241-9962. You press a 1 if you have a question or a comment as well. So we'll wait for that for a little bit. But go ahead and tell us. So you talk about how your phones have exploded. So has mine. So obviously you brought up a lot of issues about foreclosures, probate. A lot of this is all involved, and a lot of people are losing their homes, no matter if it's foreclosures, no matter if it's for banks, no matter what's going on, is that us Americans are losing their home, they're losing their inheritances, they're losing everything nowadays, and that's what we want to talk about on this radio show, is how we can help each other, how we can work with American United International, how we can go ahead and keep this going. I'm hoping this is Ed. Let's see if he is a 925 number. Do you think that sounds right, 925?
That might be it.
Ed?
That may be
Ken. I mean, not Ed, but Kenneth.
Ken.
Yeah. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Let's see if it's Ken. Is this Ken?
Oh. 925, it's Kathy, but I logged on right now. I didn't mean to, interrupt.
Oh, 925. Well, welcome to the radio show. Thank you for calling in. We're still trying to find Ken. So have him press if you could. I'll put you back on mute. Thank you, though.
Meanwhile, while we wait for Ken, this is Ed. I'll keep speaking. So this week, just to let everyone know, we spoke with a brother and a sister living in the home for 20 years now, and they've been trying to steal a home for a long time. And fortunately, the sister, I know she gave a deposit with an attorney, a bankruptcy attorney, $1,500 about 6 months ago, waiting for him to file for bankruptcy protection. Well, he did absolutely nothing. And so I immediately spoke with the brother. I told him what he had to do. He filed for bankruptcy protection immediately. I told her to call that attorney and tell him if he didn't refund the money that she would file a complaint with Americans Against Foreclosures and he'd hear from us. Well, he refunded the money back to her the next day. So that's good. And this homeowner now is protected by a bankruptcy. No,
awesome.
He's got an automatic stay in place. He doesn't have to do anything. Nobody can contact him. He sent copies to the sheriff. He's been to the sheriff and told them, look, they're trying to steal my home. That's what they're doing. So right now we're just waiting for him to finalize the bankruptcy, and we'll take it from there and help him along the way. So that's a good case we've got. I did have the fortune, and I thank Marcy for this, of speaking with Dr. Zena over at AUI. And we're very happy because I also work with a human rights organization called Actions for Justice, AXJ. So we're going to see where we can join forces in presenting this case in the United States where there's no oversight over the judges, they're corrupt, and there's nothing you can do about it but lose your inheritance and lose everything you've worked for. That's wrong. So we're working on that together. It's a macro project, but I think we'll be able to get it done eventually. And today, I just heard that President Biden has put all the student loans on hold until August. Now, we at Actions for Justice believe that education is a human right and that housing is a human right. So we applaud President Biden for taking that big step, and we're hoping that tomorrow he'll announce that there's a moratorium extended for another year on all foreclosures and evictions, and that we're trying to get all our members across the United States to go to Washington and do it. Now, we're starting to put information up at our website, axj.nu, which stands for Americans Against Foreclosures. You can Google us, you can search us, you can go to the website and join us. We're trying to, obviously we need volunteers in D.C. We do have some members there now that are fighting against foreclosure. But the more we have and the more that can go before the White House and Congress and tell them what's going on, what's really going on, because they don't seem to know, then I think we'll be able to put a moratorium on all foreclosures and evictions for another year, hopefully. So that's my update. Let's see if
there
Ken can
go.
Come on.
Great.
Okay, do you know what
Thank
area?
You, Ed.
Thank you. Do you know what area code he'd be?
Did he put it in his email to you? Because I'm searching my email. I didn't find it. But see if he's
a second.
He's put it in his email somewhere. I can Google him. Let me see. I think he still comes up.
Can I just do?
He's in Chicago. I know that. So let's see. What's Chicago?
219.
219.
Hold on a second.
Let's see. Anybody know Chicago area code off? 312-773 or 708. Could be one of those numbers. I think it's a 773, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, let's see if this one's it. 773?
Yes. Try that one.
Hold on a second. 773, is this Kenneth? Okay.
Can anyone text him? Do you have a number for him?
Yeah, can you text real quick?
If you text me the number, I'll call him. And then I'll jump back in the show.
Okay.
Text me his number and I'll
hold on a second. I didn't think this was going to go. Hold on a second.
Okay, Mark. We're going to keep Friedman.
What's that?
Yeah. We're going to.
You're a
go
smart
ahead.
Cookie.
I've got so many people on here. I got to go through all these numbers. You got to wait. For a second. So Ed, go ahead and talk to us a little bit about what bankruptcy is going to do for families that are also in probate, if you could do that.
Okay, let's see. The issue is that you have a third party trying to prove somehow that they own your note or they own the debt, and they, in the documents you signed, you gave a trustee that they name a power of sale, the possibility to take your house, auction it off, sell it, and pay themselves off whatever they claim they owe you owe them, right? And that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
There's no recourse in the non-judicial states that I talked about last weekend. This doesn't happen so much in the judicial states. Judicial states are New York, Florida, where the alleged lender or servicer or creditor has to file a complaint. So there it's, you see them coming. Okay, you see the bull coming. But in the non-foreclosure states, non-judicial states, you don't. They just get a trustee. He sends a letter to the wrong address. We're foreclosing on the property. You never find out until it's too late. And you can't do that in law. There's no due process there. You have a right to a trial by jury you have a constitutional right to a trial by jury, and you've got to see him coming. Now, regarding probate, I spoke with a few gentlemen this week regarding their mother having the house, having, I think, two homes, one in Denver and one in California, and that there was a guardian appointed, I believe, and that they had taken control of everything. And I said, well, wait a minute. Why is this guardian taking control of everything? Maybe what your mother, if she's still sound of mind and she can do this and she can still sign, maybe what she has to do is file for bankruptcy protection on these properties. Apparently the properties are worth millions of dollars, and they're paid off. So the moment she files for bankruptcy protection on those assets, they'll be protected. And then she can start with a new judge and a new court and try to find out what this guardian is really doing behind the scenes, because it's getting very nasty with these guardians. From what I've heard,
right?
And you're
but usually, usually the case is, and I'm sorry to interject. Unfortunately, once you're put into a guardianship, you lose your right to contract, to hire an attorney. Basically, you're isolated, so you can't even go down the block to get a soda from the bodega, let alone go and file, you know, bankruptcy.
I'd like Ken to see if he were on, because he'd know much more about this than I could
ever
know.
Hey, Ed, can you text me? Do you have my phone there? Can you text me his phone number, and I'll have Robin call if you could do that. I don't have it with me. I just
sent him an email. Let me see if he responded. Because I know he could be on with us, so... let me see if I have his number as well. Hold on. Let me check his number.
But I know earlier you were talking about in a probate court, if you're having issues, you know, with people trying to take your property and all these attorneys and stuff, you said that if you file a bankruptcy, it stops everything. Is that, you know, I'm wondering
if... Yes, it's not in place. Yes, I think I have Ken's number here. I think it's 310-526-0412.
I hope that nobody keeps calling him off the site here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No.
526.
Yeah.
See, but I don't know that if that might be another Ken I have on my. Let me. I'm still checking.
So whoever that number is, they're going to get bombed here.
Oh no. People won't.
I'm just really glad that we've hooked up a lot of Americans against foreclosures.
Go ahead. I just got a message here from a 720 number. Let me see if that's Ken.
Yeah. Now that's the area code, Colorado.
Yes, right. Okay. These are another.
you've been as swamped as I have lately on this radio show. I mean, I've been so swamped this week that I haven't even had time to talk to a lot of these people that have called me yet. So if you sent us any information on facesradio@hotmail.com and I haven't got back to you, I will. I truly will.
Five,
it's just that
four,
I've been really, really hit
nine,
up hard.
Nine, six, two.
Oh, there's and wait a minute.
I'm checking to make sure I've got that right.
Okay.
He probably is
right,
listening
okay.
on. Yeah,
okay, I think. Okay, I think I'm going to bring in Zena real quick while we're holding. We are getting a hold of him right. Zena, are you with us?
Hi, Luann. Yes, I am.
Okay,
hi,
everybody.
Zena.
Hi, Martha.
Dr. Zena.
Yeah, we have Dr. Zena Crinch on, everybody. She's with America United International, and she is. We're happy to have you on at a very short notice here. Marcy's been working overtime on getting everybody onto the shows, and she's been helping strategize what's the best way to get people on. But thank you for coming on with us while we wait for Kenneth.
Ken Dukowski.
No, yeah.
Yes, I
yeah,
just
I
wanted
have,
to be here on the line because it's been great, so great working with all of you all. So I'm here if you have any questions about AUI, and I'm learning so much from Ed. So, yes, it's just really, really good to be here.
Right. So you're with America United International, so we're going to shift the show a little bit to talk a little bit about that. When we get a hold of back with Kenneth, we will go back to him as when he comes on. So give us a little bit about AUI and what's going on with that so we can give all of our listeners an update and how to join AUI. Robin and I know Marcy, we are all Tier 3 ambassadors to AUI. So I'm hoping that everybody goes on one way or another to join and we all go into one big effort to go to the United Nations. So go ahead and explain a little bit about AUI if you could real quick.
Okay, then. You know what? AUI is tackling these legal system corruption, this abuse of legal process from the standpoint of international human rights, but more specifically, not so much the human rights violations that where you have the lawyers and the judges colluding to railroad people, the weaponization of the legal system. What we're doing is looking at the United States' failure to protect us as citizens, as non-citizens, residents, from this organized abuse of the courts. Because one of the fundamental obligations of government is to protect its people from violations of their human rights under color of law. So when you have, and of course we focus in on the role of the judges because ultimately they're the gatekeepers. They are the ones that are supposed to make sure that there's a fair and impartial administration of justice. So we, no matter who the players are, Ed is talking about, you know, the banking industries and the various corporate players that end up getting people out of their homes through these illegal foreclosures. Well, ultimately we shouldn't be able to just take whatever arguments we have in defense of our rights and present it to a U.S. judge and get a fair and impartial resolution. When that doesn't happen, in fact, when it seems like the judges are in on the railroad, in on these nightmare, court nightmares, then that's what we're talking about, that we, you know, a lot of us have been out here for decades. I know I have been doing this work full-time since 1998. I came on the national scene right at the beginning of this century, and I have been talking to people all across the country, advocates who have been trying to tackle, get a hold, tame this corruption, this legal system corruption. And no matter how we do it, you know, how sophisticated you are, how much we persist, we end up with a brick wall. And it's not as if no one ever wins, but the wins come too seldom. They cost too much. They take too long. So finally, in 2018, we went to the UN, and they agreed that we lack effective avenues of redress. This is not due process. You know, we should not have to go for decades. Now, yes, we're going to continue to fight. This is our country. We have to use the legal system that we have here. But what AUI is doing is challenging the way our legal system is set up and requiring the United States to come in and to pry our legal system from the grips of this entrenched corruption, whatever lawful way it takes, and to make sure that all of us who are the casualties of this war, as Marcy described at the beginning of the show, that we are made whole to the extent that that's possible. So I'm going to be working, hopefully, with Americans Against Unlawful Foreclosures, and by layering in this great momentum that we have from the global stage, from the international human rights community, we hope that the synergy is even more effective, and we can as quickly as possible get a moratorium on these wrongful foreclosures and these evictions, and then start making sure that the people who have already suffered due to that corruption are made whole. So I hear Ed talking in terms of being hopeful that we're able to get this moratorium, just like, you know, we've got it extended with regard to the student loans. We had it in place with regard to the evictions for a while. And so I'm curious to find out from Ed what he thinks may be the obstacles to getting this, or the challenges for getting the same type of moratorium extended with regard to these foreclosures.
That's a good question. The obstacles are the banks, basically, the obstacles.
The powerful, so the lobby, the powerful lobby of the bank is what you think is our big obstacle.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, I hope we'll have a chance on tonight's show to talk about the strategies that we have in mind for trying to overcome that tremendous, sometimes it seems like insurmountable, influence of an industry such as the banking industry. But what AUI is going to be looking at is the tremendous influence of this UN treaty. And it's not a matter of, we're not naive. The United States disregards its treaty obligations all along. That's not the point. But what we're saying is that this fundamental obligation of government to protect the citizens from human rights violations, and I understand that Ed's group, one of the fundamental premises is that we have a human right to housing. And to have that right violated under color law with the complicity of trial judges is just simply unacceptable, particularly when UN Human Rights Council came to the conclusion that it was not manifestly ill-founded. Every time you all talk with me, you know I'm using that phrase. It's not manifestly ill-founded to contend that in this country it's a de facto government policy to extend impunity. That's not immunity. Impunity means there's no accountability with regard to our judges and their role in this orchestrated abuse of the legal system. And, that should be a preposterous conclusion, but the UN Human Rights Council determined that it was not manifestly ill-founded to conclude that that's exactly what's happening in this country. And by de facto government policy, we're just simply saying it's not as if, they had a big gathering in Washington, D.C. of all the, these different federal and state public officials, and they said, okay, whatever we do, let's make sure that nothing happens to our judges. If anybody comes to your office and is alleging that they were somehow in a colluding against you to violate your rights through these court processes. It's not like that. We mapped it out to the UN Human Rights Council, and it actually happened over a course of time, where basically it was sort of like a gentleman's agreement. We're all living in a glass house. We don't mess with you. We don't go too far. Monitoring what you do, and you leave us alone. And then also, the judiciary, we have the gold standard of a legal system in this country, and it's actually kind of honorable to think that, well, we're not going to bring our judges, haul our judges in here on the carpet every time somebody thinks they had a bad deal. But what they've done in this country is they're so deferential to the judges that the judges basically decide not only all of these things about our life, liberty, and property, but when someone alleges that they've done it unethically, they go back to judges. And it's basically like they just say, well, what do you think? Well, no, Zena's, she's just always complaining. She's just, she's a conspiracy theorist. And that's the end of it. So there is no fair and impartial administration. The judges are basically have the final say on their own integrity. So this is what AUI is about, is challenging all that as really an international human rights treaty violation, a violation of a fundamental obligation of U.S. government, and literally a crime against humanity for one presidential administration after another to disregard this, you know, this state of affairs that, that you all week in and week out are addressing here on FASA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. That's excellent. Tell us how, I know that you wanted a lot of people to start posting their stories up on Facebook. Can you give everybody an idea what to do with their stories about that?
Yes. You know, what we have cleared the legal hurdles. As of to right now, our entitlement to have this treaty in force, and let me explain what happens with this treaty. It obliges the United States to start a process to evaluate how is it that our legal system failed to adequately protect our rights, but also create some type of bureaucracy, whether it's a, you know, however they do it. We say we're looking for a FEMA to create a body that we can go to with our evidence that we were the victim of this orchestrated, this conspiracy against our rights, this court racketeering. And this system is obliged to make sure we're compensated, to make sure we're made whole, even reparations if necessary. And then that the people who you know, committed these crimes against us are held accountable. So that's what we're trying to accomplish by pursuing this treaty. Now, Luann, now I lost track.
Uh-huh.
You wanted me to address exactly what?
To where can people post their stories?
Oh, yes, that's right. That's what you were asking me about. Sorry about it. You know, you keep up with so many. When conspiracy is about these usually circumstantial evidence of agreements to violate your rights, and after years of keeping up with all the different pieces of evidence, my hard drive, my brain, it just starts kicking out information. So I lost track of what you were asking me about, not to mention my senior moments. But what it is that we cleared the legal hurdles. We've got it established that this treaty is violated. The Human Rights Council, the UN Human Rights Council made that determination, and the Trump administration, on behalf of the United States, even conceded that there's not effective redress. There's not adequate redress for these allegations of violations of our human rights with the involvement of judges. There's no dispute that we're not adequately protected. It was what we were left with is enough of us directly impacted, because the UN can only get involved if it's a widespread, you know, violation of rights. And the Biden administration and the Trump administration have just basically taken the position that, well, you know, what we're complaining about is very serious. That's not on the radar now. That's not a high priority. They have no plans to do anything to provide us relief. So what we had to do was, on February 10th of this year, 2022, we published our report, and we established in that report, I believe, unequivocally, very strongly, that there were enough of us being directly impacted, because it includes not only the people in court, but their immediate family. And if you look at that and on an intergenerational basis, we've beat the numbers game. There's enough of us being impacted to be a priority for this country and to justify global intervention if necessary. So we cleared the legal hurdles, but now we're in this phase of this campaign where this is not about, you know, making our arguments to governments, our global oversight bodies. This is about the fact that we as a persecuted people in this country are competing for the limited attention and the support and the outcry of these global oversight organizations. We're competing with people all around the world who are being persecuted. Refugees, countries that are at war, they're private citizens, and a lot of, just like here, they're dealing with abuses of power by rogue government agents. And so what we have to do, This is just a reality, and I think, you know, that your listeners will consider it reasonable. We've got to convince the International Criminal Court, the United Nations, whatever, the international human rights community, the private civil society organizations, we've got to convince them that we deserve them taking some of their time and attention away from these atrocities that are occurring around the world and give us attention. Because right now, you know, with the Ukraine, you see that constantly in the news. You know, there are people, refugees. I share a lot of times. I heard a story recently from this woman who was a refugee in this country from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And if I have time, I just want to share. You know, she told this story about how the women and the children would have to hide at night from the soldiers who were coming into their villages and killing the women and raping the women. So they would hide in the forest. And then at night, she told the story of how the mothers and their babies and the daughters were huddled around the river that they were going to cross the following morning. And this one woman, and this woman is there. She was at a conference. She's telling this story. This is her experience. She was there. As she said, this woman huddled. They were all huddled together to stay warm and safe. And this woman just presumed that she was huddling all night next to another mother and perhaps with her child. And by daylight, my goodness, this woman discovered she had been huddling all night next. And she woke and threw her baby to another mother, and she referenced a parable in the Bible where they talked about God closing the mouths of the predators so that they would not devour the people he was protecting. And, you know, these are the kind of stories. This is real life. This is not just some fictional. I mean, it sounds almost too difficult to believe, but this is what someone is actually experiencing. And she talked about being pregnant and having to climb a tree to hide, you know, from a soldier. These are the type of experiences that people are having, and they're asking for support to the same agencies that we're going to, the United Nations, the International Criminal Court. And we have to centralize our story. We've been sharing our stories for years, but we've got to centralize them to a place that, because the International Criminal Court has written us, and they have represented in writing that they are considering our request that President Biden be investigated, because this is a crime against humanity for it to be documented that we are not adequately protected. But the President Biden has not started the process of trying to comply with this treaty. So the International Criminal Court has indicated that they will let us know whether they're going to investigate as we have requested. Even the State Department, the Biden administration back in November, I believe it was, wrote my office and explained that they were directing the matter to the State Department, to the U.S. State Department, and they were going to reply to us. And then we've also reached out. We haven't gone back to the UN Human Rights Council because they only convene periodically. But we've reached out to what's the UN Special Rapporteurs. These are another representatives of the UN that handle these human rights violations. And so we're in communications with these organizations. We're well-placed in the international human rights community. We are a known quantity. We're seriously regarded. So we can assure all of AUI constituents, everyone who's listening, that we can direct people with power to provide us relief, to assist us in getting relief. We can direct their attention to our story. So it's a matter of centralizing them more, because we certainly can't just say, well, just go and, you know, comb the internet and you'll find our story. We're trying to more centralize them and until they are just as impressed by the war casualties that we're enduring as much as we are impressed by the war casualties that we're seeing in Ukraine and the what's happening in the Congo and Venezuela and all of these other countries where they're dealing with massive human rights violations and persecuted people. So that's what we're doing. We're putting a face on our persecution. And we've got to centralize it. It's not enough to just keep posting. We've got to get this information to a location that we know we can direct these influential oversight bodies and even our own government to. So we're on Facebook, and we're calling it the AUI Countdown. So, rather than try to give you the link, because, you know, they get kind of complicated. What if everyone goes to our website, www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net. Everything is lowercase, one word, AmericaUnitedInternational.net. You'll see where you can go to the page for Join Us. And the links to everything that we're talking about, how you can become an ambassador, like Luann and Robin and Marcy are already ambassadors, how you can the link to this Facebook page that I'm telling you about, we're using that now, you know, to centralize our stories. We may change it later because, you know, it's big tech industries. Sometimes they don't make it easy for our stories and our announcements to circulate. But for now, we're using that Facebook group, and it's a link on our website. We even have our own private network. And it's really important that we start, you know, using that because we have to make sure that we're communicating with each other at the very least, that we're letting each other know what's going on. And when you've got, you know, all the different stories that are coming out about how Facebook can manage to suppress, you know, what if Facebook has billions of users and if you come when I go on Facebook, sometimes it seems like nobody is even on the thing because, you know, they how they talk. I'm not a tech person, but you know how they talk about how they suppress your circulation. So this private, basically this is our private Facebook that AUI has. And it's not so, we're not using that to let the world know so much. It's not like putting your announcement on there and now everyone around the world knows. But if you put an announcement on there, the people in our community will know because there's not going to be somebody over there censoring and putting you in jail for months and telling you you can't post to these groups for the next 20 days. That's not going to happen. And so it's very important that we get on there, that we keep each other aware, that we keep each other encouraged, and that we communicate with each other, and so that we can mobilize, even like, for example, Ed's effort to mobilize people to go into Washington, D.C. All of that can happen right there on our private network. We have at this point about 600 members. And while that's nothing compared to the billions that theoretically you can reach on a site like Facebook, this is 600 people who have already shown that they want to have legal system reform, that they want to have appropriate judicial accountability. They're divided by geographical location. We can even get to a point now that we can organize and mobilize by city, by county, in addition to state. And so we really need to embrace this resource that AUI is covering the cost of making available to our community. So, again, www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net, and if you go to our Join Us page, you'll see everything that we need you to do. And Marcy talked about the fact that we have developed a working group for people who have stolen inheritances. We're developing working groups for special groups among AUI constituents, you know, no matter what the court system that they're dealing with. We're creating these working groups because if you see on our campaign page, we're going to be taking this information to the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in addition to the U.N. Special Rapporteurs and the International Criminal Court. I can tell you quickly why we're going back to the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and then I'll shut up. we got, when the UN Human Rights Council confirmed in 2008 that we were not being adequately protected from this alleged abuse of power, abuse of the court system with the involvement of presiding judges, and there was no appropriate, there was not adequate accountability for the judges. We kept working with the White House, and it was for a specific reason, because at the time, the UN Human Rights Committee, and that's a different body than the council, the UN Human Rights Committee was engaged in, every 4 years, I believe, every 4 or 5 years, the UN Human Rights Committee will come to the United States, and they will review how well our legal system is protecting human rights. And the United States, to the extent that they're cooperating with that process, submits a report on how well our legal system is protecting human rights. And, you know, sometimes sometimes our government doesn't participate in that review process, but they have for the last few administrations. And the UN Human Rights Committee always admonishes the countries that are UN member states that before you answer us, talk with your people, get their input on how they think the legal system is functioning. And I don't know if any of you all have seen this orientation that AUI circulates. AUI gave a submission to, well, its predecessor gave a submission to the UN Human Rights Committee, and it was 56 reports from these private organizations. I mean, you know, all types of Yale Law School and, I mean, just really prestigious commentators on the U.S. legal system, 56 of us. And the UN Human Rights Committee placed our submission in the top 10. You know, that was not a reflection of the chronological order of submission, because we literally made our submission the last day that the UN Human Rights Committee was receiving those submissions. So they were basically saying, talk port back to us as to, you know, how, whether your legal system is protecting, adequately protecting human rights. And, you know, the United States didn't get in touch with us. They just basically just conceded to the UN Human Rights Committee that, no, they weren't adequately protecting us from this type of corruption, but they weren't going to do anything about it. So now we've got to create a political climate where, you know, they can't be comfortable leaving us out, you know, looking out for immigrants, looking out for refugees, looking out for people who are seeking asylum. All of those people are persecuted. No one deserves any of that. But, you know, this notion that Americans are not subjected to human rights violations that are as serious as everyone else's atrocities, we've got to dispel that notion. And we're going to do it by centralizing our story.
There you go. That's a mouthful. Oh, I do. What was that?
I would say so.
Yeah.
So you
can
say,
go to...
One question.
You know,
Dr. Z.
If I can explain, Marcy, the reason why we're going to back to the Senate is because, you know, after we got this great input from the UN, we were working with the White House. We never went to the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee after the UN and the United States have conceded this inadequate protection. So now we're preparing our stories, and we're going to take them to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We're going to take them to the Congress, everybody, the representatives of the Senate, but ultimately to influence the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And basically, because they can start enforcement, they can lead in enforcing this treaty. You know, arguably they have more influence in that regard than the White House. So that's why we're going back to the U.S., the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Okay, Marcy, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off, and that was important too. But what I was trying to get is one of the main things that you need right now from all of us collectively is a short video of how terrorized they were, if they were, in the courtroom in their stories that have violated their human civil rights and inalienable rights?
Yes. If you don't have your story in a video form or some type of, you know, short presentation, and you can provide links to more, you know, expansive discussions, but we're trying to get these videos. Now, people, please, we need to understand the world doesn't need to hear, you know, their children, you know, they're suffering, dying, you know, in Russia's war against Ukraine. They have the pulling on our heartstrings. This is not the time to try to impress the world with what you think about lawyers or what you think about judges or your brilliant legal analysis. We're going to have all of that, but they need to see you. They need to know how you have been directly impacted by this persecution. They need to see it on your face because people believe, I mean, they know that the United States violates the human rights. I mean, every country, they got political prisoners. There's corruption everywhere. But, you know, they believe that, relatively speaking, we have it easy in the United States. You know, they think when we say, you know, we're suffering, they think, you know, we mean, well, you know, we had three cars and now only have one car. You know, I mean, that's what they think suffering is for us. Is that true? Of course it's not true. You know, the things they have done as part of this legal system abuse is horrendous. You know, they've taken people's children. They've taken people's lives. They've prompted people to commit suicide. You know, they've fostered all this homelessness that Ed is talking about. We've got to convey that on our face and in a way that people can feel without having to know all the details of our case or engage in any type of legal analysis. And Marcy has been, and Robin and Luann have been just excellent in pulling people together to get these stories centralized because we're going to be directing the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court and these UN special rapporteurs to these presentations as well as the U.S. State Department.
So, Zena, let me ask you, Zena, I'm sorry, I don't know the right pronunciation. Let me ask you for our listeners, how long, because I'm sure there's time constraints, how long a video should it be?
Right now we have an app that we use, so if people don't have their own presentation, they can make a presentation up to 5 minutes. But we're sharing, you know, we've shared stories that where people have 15-minute presentations and you know, is really about effectively conveying as quickly as possible what your story is, how this the toll that this has taken on you and your family. So if you can do it in 5 minutes, then I think that's very powerful. But it's not as if we, you know, there's some very powerful stories that are conveyed. You know, we even have presentations as long as an hour. It's just about the how impactful the story is. And again, so this app that we have, you can access that through our Facebook group. Marcy has shared it. It's all over the place. My Facebook profile, you will circulate it from time to time, and you can go in and you can make a video as long as 5 minutes.
So tell us again, you find that? Go ahead and tell everybody on Facebook how they can find that now.
Well, what I'm doing is, because there's no short, you know, you have the Facebook group and then the name of the group is, to me, is too cumbersome. So I'm just suggesting that you go to our website and then you'll see links to the Facebook group. But it's called AUI Countdown. And what we're doing is, let me explain that. We wrote President Biden on June 15th of 2021 because, you know, he just was inaugurated in January of last year. So we had to let him get in, you know, get settled in the White House Oval. And then, you know, in January of last year, the Trump administration made this official announcement that while they recognize that we're not adequately protected, they don't have any plans to do anything about that. And so on June 15th, we wrote President Biden, along with the Justice Department and the State Department, and said, basically, you know, what are you going to do about this? You know, this is this. You know, every American is entitled to privileges and immunities. You can't have a certain segment of our population with effective redress and another segment without it. And the Biden administration did not even acknowledge our correspondence. We were asking for a meeting, and they didn't even acknowledge it. Well, you know, in the meantime, we're in this country where they acknowledge that I don't care how compelling your evidence is, that the outcome of your court proceeding was the result of a deliberate orchestrated violation of rights. I mean, they could have taken your children. They could have ordered you to go to prison. They could have taken your home. And no matter how compelling your evidence, we're in a country that acknowledges that you do not have effective redress, that there's not a high likelihood that allegation will be, you know, you will get a fair and impartial resolution of that claim, no matter how compelling it is. I mean, Abe Lincoln could be your lawyer, and you still, there's a good, very good chance that you will get nowhere, even if your evidence is very compelling. So, you know, you could have a court order. I mean, this is not too outlandish, but, I mean, we could have a court order that basically says, well, show up, you know, tomorrow at high noon, and we're going to shoot you with a firing in front of a firing squad. And our country's position is, well, if you got a court order saying that you better show up. And so AUI took the position like the founders of this country. We declared independence from that type of judicial tyranny. And so what we're doing is establishing that from June 15th of last year, when we first wrote President Biden, experienced losses. Now, our Facebook page reflects losses back for years back. You know, it's not limited to June 2021. But what we're trying to say is this is not an academic exercise. You know, people are working for our government. And they're coming to work in the morning, and then they're going home, and they come and they still get a paycheck and their job, you know. And in the meantime, we continue to endure this literal psychological torture for some of us. So what we want to do is emphasize the toll that this has taken on us, not only since we first encountered these courtroom nightmares, but even since we first told President Biden about it, because these people have to realize that this is not an academic exercise. We are people. We are suffering. This is real. So that's what it's all about, the time frame. And we're going to do this, I keep saying, for the next 90 days. The significance of that is by the end of June, it's not as if it's an official deadline. But when you look at the international, the Rome Statute, and the criteria for the prosecutor to decide to investigate President Biden, and there's some technicalities associated with that because the United States is not a party to the Rome Statute, so there's some technicalities on what the prosecutor can and cannot do. But by the end of June, whatever the prosecutor is going to do, if the United States, if the Biden administration has not stepped up and said, okay, we will take care of this, we will, you know, start the process of complying with this treaty, if they are still silent and disregarding us by the end of June, then we have our answer. The answer is the Biden administration is not going to take the lead in complying with this treaty. And we're going to reach out as best we can to the Senate for Foreign Relations Committee and see if they will step in. But by the end of June, everybody, you know, we're so beat down, we've tried so much, and people ignore us, and everybody's like, oh, is this going to help anything? Is this going to work? And what I keep trying to impress upon people is that it's not a matter of whether these things and getting these stories together and meeting with these working groups are going to work. It's not a gimmick. What it is that by the end of June, if they are disregarding this, the toll that this is taking on us as individuals, then the International Criminal Court can take that as the answer is no, and they can proceed to do what is necessary to investigate President Biden for his own crimes against humanity, letting this happen. And the U.N. Special Rapporteurs can begin what they do. And the U.N. doesn't send in troops, and there's not going to be a U.N. flag sitting in every courtroom, and the judge is, you know, sitting in the corner like in a timeout, and we got some type of U.N. representative handling our case. That's not the way it works. The United States is an independent sovereign, but this refusal to protect its people is the UN and the international human rights community has to start, just like we're seeing with the Ukraine, just like when you're seeing the UN Secretary General decrying what Putin is doing and condemning what's happening in China and all these other historically authoritarian countries. They will do that for the United States. And this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll shut up again. But all those people say, oh, well, you know, the United States, they can disregard that. They just disregard the UN. They don't have to pay any attention. Rarely are these nations encouraged or pushed to doing the right thing is how this world stays, you know, functions. And soft diplomacy is powerful. And the UN is the central orchestrator of this soft diplomacy. So no, they're not going to bomb the United States if the Biden administration is not responding. But the United States cannot keep its position as the beacon of advocacy for complying with international law and international human rights law and protecting universal human rights. If it's over there saying that its judges are no different than these soldiers who are going into villages and raping and killing people. You know, instead of sending soldiers, they're sending lawyers and judges. And they're not burning down villages, but they certainly have burned down my life. They have burned down the life that I anticipated. Yeah. This is not the life I envision. And so if the United States is going to be telling everybody else what to do, and that's very important. It's not just a moral thing. The stability, it's just like if you think about driving in traffic. You know, nobody comes and tells you, and you know, when we are in our cars, we have a lot of discretion unless we're, you know, there's a cop nearby as to whether we're going to stop at a stop sign or whether we're going to slow down when the light turns yellow. We have a lot of discretion. But if we don't comply with these traffic rules, you know, regardless of whether a cop is nearby, then we are not going to be able to orderly travel. You know, it's going to become a chaotic situation. It's going to become dangerous. So the same thing with these nations, even if it's a superpower like Russia or the United States, they cannot just go and disregard the rules without that having a ripple effect. It brings instability for business, you know, in addition to the human atrocity that's involved. And so the United States is not, people think they can just do anything, but the United States government, President Biden, is not going to be able to just stand by and say, we're letting judges and lawyers burn villages, burn, you know, kill, destroy people's lives, and so what, stay out of our business. They're not going to be able to do that. But we cannot sit around and wait until we get some word from the Biden administration or from the International Criminal Court. We've got to make our case, because if we don't make our case, if we don't put a face on it, they're going to keep on helping all of these refugees. They're going to keep helping all these people who are seeking asylum. Those people need their help too. And if they figure we're too busy or we're too much infighting, whatever we're doing that's keeping us from mustering just enough unity to put a face on our persecution, then they're not going to come in and win this battle for us. We've got to do this ourselves.
Yeah. And what you were telling me earlier and how I figured out what had to be done is that the United Nations, what it does is that it basically tells the United States they have to do something about this mess that's what happened, because they're in charge of the people. So basically, isn't that true, what I just said, that they basically come in and say, well, you have to do something about this because this is not the way it's supposed to go. But they force them to do it, right?
Exactly.
That's how I figured out what this was all about.
They put pressure, because a lot of people went to the UN and they were telling them about, you know, that they were trafficking our vulnerable seniors and all these different, I mean, even the housing crisis, the foreclosure crisis, we could go there and say that this is a rampant human rights violation. But what was happening is the UN wasn't responding, or they were, you know, responding and saying they were not going to intervene. But when we went in 2018 and we were saying, basically, you need to help us put pressure on the United States to comply with this treaty, they said, aha, we will do that. We are not going to come in. We're not going to referee all you all's different cases. We don't know what happened in your guardianship case. We don't know if your inheritance was stolen. We don't know, you know, we don't know whether you were entitled to stay in your house or not. We are not going to get in and intervene in that way. However, we will stand with you and demand that the United States figure it out, and that the United States give you compensation and give you reparations if, in fact, your rights were violated and you did not have effective redress. That's what they're willing to do. And I would like to say, I mean, you got powerful advocates like the people on this listening to this broadcast and your guests with the Americans Against Foreclosure. But I kind of think, you know, the United Nations Human Rights Council is a nice ally to add to that list. You know, we're not, you know, we know that the UN is has its own share of corruption, and it's not about worshiping the United Nations, but, you know, I'm happy to hear that the UN Human Rights Council will stand with us, just as happy as I am that Americans Against Foreclosure will stand against us. We're all advocates.
Right.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Like, and Ed, You talk about, you've also been in contact with Dr. Zena Crenshaw as well. So you're going to continue working with all of us and going to the United Nations as well, right?
Oh, yes. Because like I say, I'm part of a large organization, Actions for Justice, and we're all about actions. We don't, you know, the reports and the time spent in the committees, all that's well and good, and we need that background and we need that, foundation, but what we need more than anything is actions, especially right now. If somebody's coming from my house, they're going to know about it, and the world's going to know about it, and that's what we do. We come out, we make noise, and everybody finds out that this bank or these people are trying to steal my home, and that's wrong. That's wrong, period. There's nowhere to slice this or dice it. That is homestead. That belongs to us. We fought for this land. It's ours now. Now we must protect it, and they can't steal it from our parents either. You know, that's just no. I mean, if they worked all their lives to leave us an inheritance, leave us something, it's ours. It's not some criminal administrator that named herself. No, that's why I say file for bankruptcy protection. Let the new judge decide whether that administrator has been honest or not. Have her come and prove her case, because this is not right what's going on, that they steal a human being, because they're kidnapping these senior citizens. It's kidnapped. I've tried to contact him. Either I don't know if anybody's made contact with him, but I haven't heard from him in a couple of days. So I don't know.
I've left a message with Kenneth Ditkowski, and he's not returned my message, so I'm not sure what's going on there. But we will try to get a hold of him and get him back onto our radio show. But we are just happy, as could be with Dr. Dina Crenshaw could come on and fill our time with us on a radio show. We're absolutely grateful that you did to give us an update on the United what's going on with the United Nations. I mean, this is some really important stuff that's going on right now. As you can see, many of these organizations are coming together. We are going to go out into the United Nations, and this is becoming a lot of huge news. You know, so what else do you have to add on? And I'm going to be taking in some callers here pretty soon, and the number you do that is 541-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. If you have a question or a comment for the show, please call in. You will be live on the air with us as well. Remember, that's the same number you use every week. And we will probably be bringing some more special shows coming on to our radio show, possibly on a Thursday or a Friday or something, when we start getting more in depth with Dr. Dina Crenshaw. And we're going to be asking Ed and his organization to be coming on with us as well to keep giving everybody updated information. And so I'm going to start bringing on some callers. And if Ed happens to call in, Kenneth, I will pick him up as soon as I start answering all these phone calls that are starting to light up here. But Dr. Zena, thank you so much for coming on this short notice, Marcy.
No problem. Thank you so much. I just wanted to be here. You know, just in case. And unfortunately, Ken has not been able to join us. So, you know, I didn't think that we would be talking this much. But I want to say, in response to Ed and talking about action versus the reporting and the analyzing and the publication, you know, what has happened is that in this country is they've turned what should be action into little more than a shell game. And yes, we have to continue to pursue very concrete, practical courses of action through our country's legal system, our political systems. We can vote people in. We can vote people out. We should leave no stone unturned. But after decades of doing that very same kind of thing, the time has also come to deal with the fact that they have this country, through its ineffective judicial or inadequate judicial oversight, has allowed all of those efforts and also, you know, given the undue influence of money. They basically turn our legal systems and our political systems into a charade. It's like chasing a rabbit. And you know, chasing a rabbit is action, yes. But, you know, people are not even living long enough to catch this rabbit, with the rabbit being justice. So simultaneously, as we continue to mobilize, as we continue to do what we have to do, domestic avenues of legal and political process, there's also a principle that's universal, and that is we are not required to pursue acts that are futile. And we can demand of our country that we not be just left to engaging in exercises of futility. They have an obligation to come in and provide us effective redress and to compensate us and make us whole in light of the ineffectiveness that has plagued this country for the last several decades.
Totally agree.
Yeah,
totally agree.
What you would call FEMA, F-E-M-A. So that would be excellent if a lot of these families were to get restitution. Like my family lost out millions of dollars. It was completely stolen from our family. So, yes, we will definitely be putting in a video. Also, we've got a lot of people with their hands raised. So we're going to go ahead and bring in a caller. Ed, did you have anything that you wanted to say before we bring in our callers, our listeners?
No, simply that I'd like to get to their issues and see how we can resolve them as a team. Think of all of us, and Dr. Zena, I want to include you in this team, as how we can best put our minds together to deal with the main issue. What is the main issue? The judge is the main issue. Recuse the judge. Get rid of that judge. The other party is the main issue. They have no standing. They have no right to sue me or to try to steal my house. Go after that party legally. I mean, there's many recourses. go after them filing complaints in the police department. I've talked to borrowers to file police reports against these people, and the police actually investigate. They look at the titles, and they say, this is fraudulent, and we're going to give you a report you can take to the court. So we have to be, like I say, active, take always watching out, and being ready to be on the, how should I say it, on the defensive in the sense that these people are coming for us. We live peacefully in our homes. They have no right to touch us. And that's the way we feel.
Yes, that's how
yeah,
I feel, too.
Dr. Zina, everything's very well.
And that's exactly what they did to my family is that they evicted my brother out of the homes he had there for 50 years so they could take this money and pay these attorneys, you know. And it was just it's not right for them to come in and tear your whole family inside out and for no reason, absolutely no reason. I can't think of one thing good that they could have done by doing this. So I agree with you 100%. I'm with you 100%, you know, to bring in actions for justice, period. You know, we're going to get that organization on a radio show as well as soon as we can. Let's take in a number. I think it was a 925 number that I talked to earlier. Did you have a question or a comment? I'll bring you in first.
Oh, okay, wait.
925 area code?
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, I didn't know if you could hear me or not. So the lady that was speaking, what agency is she with and where is she from? Because she's like on point about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's Dr. Zina Crenshaw.
Okay.
That's with American United International.
Yes. Oh, so the lawyer didn't come on today?
No, not yet. We are still trying to get a hold of him.
Okay. So what I wanted to share with her, a lot of the stuff she says is on point, that I've been with the judges is that I went to the DA's office and I talked to the DA and I shared with him how I was impacted by the probate corruption. And I don't know if some of you guys were on the meetings. I think there was some people that were on the meeting. There was four DAs that are running mm-hmm. for office in June in Alameda County. So anyway, uh-huh. he said that, oh, yeah, if you have evidence, you know, bring it. So I took him on it, and I went over there just to talk with him, and I shared with him what's going on in Alameda County as far as with them, you know, same story that we all have, you know, them defrauding the elderly and the families and all that.
mm-hmm.
So what he told me is what you need to do is you need to start talking to the judges. And I shared with him, I'm filing, because see, I work with law enforcement and you document. That's the key. You got to document because eventually it's going to go up the chain of command and it's going to be documented. And then they're going to be asking those judges, why didn't you do something? You were told ahead of time. You know what I'm saying? And so he told
right.
me the same thing, and that we as the people, you can't just do it once. I've already been to the executor's office for Alameda County many, many times, and everything that I find out, I document, and I go file a complaint with the judge about what the other judges are doing. And then once I'm done with that, then I send a copy to the judicial, I think it's the judicial performance, because eventually
mm-hmm.
if we all do that, something is going to happen because they're going to be held accountable. But see what it is, people don't want to put in work and they don't want to write it up and they don't want to type because it's a lot of work and you got to be precise
right.
on what you're documenting. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to share that and I love all the stuff that she said. It would be great if we, you know, like know her information because I don't know if she said it, where she's, you know, where she works at, what she's working through, because eventually I'd like to, you know, once I finish
yeah.
Matt's case, I'd like to get up there. Yeah.
Right.
You
so
can
we
do
also
it
had
now.
Another
Maybe
lady on
then.
Last week. Right. We had another
huh?
lady on next week that's doing some, and maybe Ed could talk to you about that. We had her on last week. Shelly, I think her name was?
Oh, yes. Shelly's with the taxes in California, And she sent me, by the way, she sent me a lot of documentation here regarding what they're doing. They're trying to get another act to stop because they tried to take away the or add to the taxes when they're inherited by the children, the family, right? And so they've got an action plan right now not to allow that, to keep Proposition 13 as it was, not allow them to increase the taxes in any way to the children, you know. And they've got a website. She sent me all the information here. I've got plenty of it. And the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, so that's Susan Shelley there. And she's in Sacramento as well. There's John Kupel. He's the president. He's in Sacramento, actually. And their website is Repeal the Death Tax, okay, because they try to change it. So when you pass away, now they tax the property, and your children end up paying, you know, 10 times more taxes on it. So that's Repeal the Death. Yeah, I'll try to get Susan on next week as well. And regarding the caller, yes, she's open to join all the organizations we can, the more the better, and work together because I still believe that housing is a human right, and you have a right to your property. This, you've worked for your land. You've maintained your home. It's your home. Nobody else's. They can't come and steal it from you. All this has been fraud. It's all fraud on the court. It's fraud on the American people and fraud on President Biden. They're looking him in the eye and just laughing at him. That's what the banks are doing in the lobbies in D.C. And I don't think he's going to stand it much longer. So now's the time for us to act. We have to in D.C. We have to go. But that's all I had to say.
Yeah, and the district attorney was telling me, because he's the chief district attorney, and he was sharing with me that it's fraud, and he goes, he's going to get a hold of his fraud department, and then he's going to contact me. And not only is it fraud, but it's wrongful death, too, I told him. I go, but I'll deal with that in another issue, but I want to deal with the fraud because it's fraud. And I go, I named all of them. I go, these people are committing fraud. They work for Alameda County, and they're in high places. And I go, and I've been investigating for 3 years, and I told him all the different places, everything I went. I've been sitting through court hearings. It's the same thing. And I go, it's throwing up red flags. So he was really interested.
Yeah.
So we'll see, though. You know what I mean?
Good.
Where it goes.
Yeah, well that's good. That's actually good news. But I will be passing it around to your group out there in California about these death taxes, and I'll get a hold of Venus as well to do that. Okay?
Yeah.
And also go into the website and say your story, because that's what she's trying to do is to the American United International.
America United International and .net. I think it's .net, isn't it, Zena?
.net. And go in there and post your story, about 5 minutes long, and how you've been impacted.
Yeah. Exactly. The more people,
We plan on doing that, too, because we're going to have a protest next month on May 11th. And I'm going to have all the people write out their story, 2 pages, and put it in an envelope, and we're going to walk it into the governor's office.
I'll broadcast that.
You guys could do that, too, because they need to know it's nationwide. You know what I'm saying?
This is what American United is trying to do.
We got to
get all those people to go in there and post their stories.
Right. We have to move on. We've got like 6 or 7 callers that are just came in.
Yes.
If we can. Okay, so we're going to move on to another caller. Thank you, Kathy, for calling in. 646, you have a question or a comment? 646 area code.
Hello? Yes? Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show, Facebook Radio. You have a question?
I was wondering, I have a JD, so I'm also a victim of probate court corruption. And I was listening to this plan, and I was wondering, what about a referendum, which is a constitutional convention, really, that we just, you know, do a grassroots one? I mean, the last one was the ERA. It's doable. You only require a majority of states. We could remove judicial immunity and create essentially the same sort of text as the 14th Amendment, but rather than directed by to the states, you know, who later and admitted judicial immunity as a case law, it's a case-made immunity, we could build that into the Constitution that no state jurist could abridge these rights and that judicial immunity was considered unconstitutional. That's just a majority. It's 37 states, mm-hmm. and I believe it's just a majority. We don't have to consult, you know, Amnesty, which, incidentally, Amnesty has done reports on our prison systems and all kinds of human rights violations that we're well known for globally, including the NATO expansionism that gave rise to the Ukraine. So I'm just thinking, you know, act locally. A referendum is really, we call it a constitutional convention, but it basically drops power to the people, and it was designed there when our legislative branch couldn't pass laws or the government was just not meeting our needs or protecting the Bill of Rights. And that's what it was designed for, and we haven't used it since the ERA. What's the reason for that? It would be very easy to do it, especially in a digital era. It doesn't require that much. And we could also create a constitutional convention for pretty much anything. We could limit police immunity. We could just get rid of the immunities. The immunities are atrocious. And they are created by the very people that they're protecting.
Up.
You know?
The issue.
So that's my thought about a local action.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
And you could also ask for an expansion, let's say, of every constitutional right, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, that criminals have, expand them to anyone under this arcane guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
why not?
That's a great.
That literally, because they're not even under, they didn't lose their rights because they had a debt to society. They lost their rights maybe because, you know, for no reason, as we know, and many of these are fraudulent. But the point is, if you extend all the constitutional protections, due process-wise, to people in guardianship, that solves a lot of problems, and you don't have to boomerang through the UN, which has had no luck in Palestine, which has no authority outside of the Security Council. I mean, even that, you know, is in stalemate now with the Russia-China alliance. Other than the Security Council, I mean, you know, the United States funds the UN, and can subvert at any time, and has. And I look at the case of Steen Donziger. He's got every international person, you know, and he went up against Chevron and the dirty hand of Chevron in Ecuador, and he's rotting
right.
in jail, you know. So, and what has happened there?
Here.
Nothing. But well, we could
right.
just literally have a constitutional convention and end it. That's
right.
just
so
my
Ed,
thought. Why are we using that mechanism?
That? Yeah, hold on a second. Ed, do you have something
that?
To say about that? Yeah.
This is Ed. The issue is that the same judges are the ones that control the whole system. So even if you were to pass a million laws, you still need enforcement, and they will not enforce it against each other. You know, that's
right.
the problem. The problem is breaking up this mafia we have in power in the judiciary and making sure that it all goes before a jury, a trial by jury. Then I'm with you 100%. If we make sure any complaint against a judge goes before a jury, trial by jury, then we're talking. Mm-hmm. Or we have a grand jury analyze it first. We analyze the facts of what the judge, how he interpreted the law, because that's all they do. They interpret the law. And why did he rule against this homeowner when he has loans with U.S. Bank, for example, and the homeowner's fighting U.S. Bank? Why is that judge listening to this case to begin with? And these are just
right.
simple examples of the whole problem. Nobody, no homeowners have gotten a trial by jury. And the few that have won millions of dollars. Why? Because the system is just totally corrupt. That's it. They won't let you get before a trial by jury, and nobody will enforce it. That's the other problem. You can recuse a judge, but if he doesn't want to go, he won't go, and he won't be removed from power. And that's the way it goes. And then when you appeal to three judges above him, which are all in on it. And when you appeal them, you go to the other judge, they're all in on it. I just heard a lady says she filed a complaint, or no, she's talked to three attorney generals or four attorney generals, or that they're running for attorney general in their, you know, in their state, or I didn't catch it all. But that's a good tactic. Contact all of those candidates and say, how will you deal with the homeowner crisis? How are you going to deal with it? And we want it in writing. And then we'll see who they really are and who they're backing. Because I'll tell you right now, the judges work for the banks. They don't work for us anymore. That's the way it is. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's my point of view.
Can I interject this?
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
when we As I said, I started working on a national level at the beginning of the century. And so what we took to the United Nations was a report of what had been done nationally to try to contend with this U.S. legal system abuse. Not what we had done, but what this was based on a survey of the efforts across the country by advocates of all manner of advocates. See, one of the problems that we have, that one of the things that render our legal efforts and our political efforts ineffective, meaning that not that no one is, never wins. There's a difference between ineffective advocacy and ineffective avenues of redress. But one of the things that happens is that we get a new, group of people experience the same problems, and it's a revolving door. So people emerge and they start proposing solutions that, have been tried, over and over again. And so just like the Constitutional Convention, I mean, there was a very commendable effort to precipitate these constitutional conventions. In order for us to contend that a system is ineffective, that's the legal system and the political system, you have to test that system a tremendous number of times. The people at the council, the working group that considered our complaint, these were not political hacks. These were experts across the world who considered our complaint. And we could not go to that and say, I've tried a few things, it didn't work, therefore nothing works. That would not have met our burden of proof. We went to them with years of evidence of the various attempts to deal with this problem right here within the context of our own shores, and evidence at that point where we can confidently assert that this is ineffective. Again, not that no one ever wins, but it takes too long, and the whole nine yards. So and then also with regard to the ability of the United States to disregard the UN, the UN is for us is just a source of standards. The UN is just an agreement, like a club of the community of nations, and they come together and they said, okay, if any one of us gets out of hand, how are we going to handle it? And they reached a consensus as to how they're going to handle it, and they put their agreement in these treaties. Okay, so just like Putin, he's ignoring. I mean, they ignore these treaties all the time because their position is, well, this is just an agreement that I reached. The power of this is not about the power of the UN to strong-arm the United States or any of us to strong-arm the United States. We're not challenging a use of government power. We're not saying that in the United States they should get rid of the death penalty or that, they should deal with, solve homelessness or poverty. That's about the use of power. And presidents after another will say, well, we're not perfect. We're doing the best we can, and nobody's doing it better than us. Keep in mind, we're talking about an abuse of power, acting under color of law. There is no sovereign authority to allow our judges to be a central part of persecuting us as citizens and residents of this country. So there's no such thing as anybody on behalf of the United States saying, we're going to do this. We want our judges to be in on psychologically torturing our citizens and shut up United Nations. Or shut up China. They may say mind your own business when it comes to the death penalty or children's rights, because we, just like China says, mind your own business with regard to how they govern their country. But this is not about governing. Abuse, persecution by judges is not governing. That's corruption. It's not a
right.
use of power. It's an abuse of power. And so people need to understand that difference. Hopefully I've made it clear.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. Dina, thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, exactly. Let's bring on a 510 number, a 510 question or comment.
Hello, 510.
Area code 510.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you
I can
me?
Hear you. Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Venus. How you doing?
Hi, Venus.
Gist in, in Northern California, Alameda County. And,
there you go.
Welcome.
Hi, Venus.
Thank you. Yes, I heard Kathy earlier, and this was really great. I mean, good information. I think all aspects of advocacy are relevant. I know there's like the action, there's the legislature, there's, you know, different people taking different actions. And, you know, my mother was in a conservatorship, and they tried to take property, the same thing. I like hearing what Dr. Zinga was saying, and I think the other gentleman was a doctor too, right, that was speaking.
No, it's his name is Ed Vallejo. He's with the Americans Against Foreclosure.
Okay, sorry. I was kind of in and out and working on my taxes, scanning, coming back, catching pieces. So like Kathy, I want to get that information on Dr. Zinga and also his information. I have some of it. But I wanted to say this, is that the action is a big piece too, because they don't listen. The judges have immunity, and I mean, the attorneys, like she said, they're in collusion together. And I know our action family, the Carter Gist family. And Dr. Zinga, are you still there?
Yes.
Dr.
Zinga is still here.
Okay, I just want to know if she's still there. What is that, Luann?
Zina.
Okay.
Yeah, Prince.
Zina. Thank you, Zina. the action that we took for our family is, we rescued my mother out of the facility, got her body back in the court order. And I can't ever remember, Rick, I'm going to have to write that down. Rick Black, he always says, but possession is, you know, a high percentage of just having everything you want back in your possession. And so.
Yeah, nine-tenths of the law, they say.
Nine-tenths of the law, there you go. High percentage, yes.
Yeah.
That's possession. So we got my mother back in, you know, our possession. They still tried to take property. But what I did was someone told me this, is to file a claim against the surety bond. And I listened to that person. I tell other people that. No one else has done it. But, yeah, file a claim against the surety bond, because they were going to put my mother's and my father's rental property up for sale, and that stopped it. After 2 weeks later, after I filed that claim, we got a letter rescinding the sale of the property. So that's something I was told by someone who knows law very well. And who said, yeah, this is the only thing that there's a website called You Are Law. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah.
No.
And, I don't know if you heard of it. Yeah, it's called You Are Law. And they give a lot of good advice and so forth. And, you know, I mean, it's like the action that works. And it worked. My mom's alive. You know, a lot of associates and advocates that I work with, their loved ones are not here because we try to trust the system. We try to wait, try to go to court. We try to, you know, protest. And they don't care. So we had to rescue my mother, take her out, take the risk of going to jail, being sanctioned. But guess what? The conservator said she was only going to live for 3 to 6 months, and she lived 4 years. She just passed last Thanksgiving. And she was well taken care of. I have before
and after. You know what? And you need to put your story. You need to, Venus, I'm going to work out with you later. For you to talk with Dr. Zina Crenshaw and American United International, so we could all come together, all of us, Kathy Rodriguez, everybody, and we can all.
Yes.
I'm going to try to get maybe a Zoom meeting, Zina, if that could help. We could get some of these other leaders on in California and all across the nation onto a Zoom to let everybody know what's going on, so we could all bring our forces together. Mm-hmm. We should be doing that as soon as possible. Okay.
Great idea.
I'll be available.
Yeah,
we'll have
America. California.
And so I'll work that with Zina and Marcy and Ed, and we'll get that going and to get a Zoom for everybody to join us as much as possible, and we can talk about going forward
and to getting our stories up there, okay?
Yes.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay, great. We're going to move on to Venus and stay with us if you'd like.
Yep.
We're going to keep your mic open.
Okay.
We're going to bring in a 773 number. 773,
okay.
You have a question or a comment?
I just want to know what state
go ahead.
She was in.
Dr. Zena?
Yes, good evening.
Hold on a second. Dr. Zena, what state are you in?
Well, the American United International is sponsored by Louisiana United International, so I'm back and forth between Louisiana and Georgia.
Yes,
okay,
in Louisiana and Georgia.
But you can go into the website, AmericanUnitedInternational.net, and go in there and post a video and get familiar with it.
Right.
Got it. Thank you.
Good. And I'll be in touch with you later, Venus and Kathy. So 773, you have a question or comment? Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you to Mr. Ed for telling me what to do. I just filed Chapter 13 the end of last week, March 31st, to bankruptcy, basically to save my house from going into foreclosure, and so that I really don't even know how it happened, how quickly everything has happened, but hopefully the sale can be stopped by Chapter 13, just like Mr. Ed advised me to do. Yes, it was on my side, it was corrupted attorney that was not properly telling me what is exactly going on in my case. He kept telling me that I am safe in the house, everything is fine, everything is fine, until I found papers being taped to the front of my house, telling me that the eviction is coming soon. So I really hope that I can stay in my house. I've been here for more than 20 years, and basically I just want to say thank you one more time, and everything is in the process. So I would like to inform you in the future how things will go.
Yes, absolutely. Keep
you.
In touch with our radio show when you can, and with Ed, and make sure that we have an update on this. I'm very curious to see how it works. So that would be excellent. And gosh, thank you, Ed, for doing that. Hopefully we can save somebody else's house.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. God bless you all.
I'm willing to save everyone's home. I was doing it while I was working at Washington Mutual and JPMorgan Chase. I spoke to 100 families every month. And I stopped all the foreclosures on every single one of them to give them an opportunity to send in a modification package and try to modify their loan. And thank you so much, caller. I'm very, very happy that you've taken my advice. But it's not my advice. It's in general. For any homeowner right now that's having any type of issue with their alleged lender, they're getting a notice of default. Something's happening against the title or property. If you have no other resource, you have no other recourse to take, file for bankruptcy protection. It's not that bad. The judges there will listen to you, and if you can prove that it's all fraudulent, they will not let them take your house because they have to file what's called a proof of claim. And if that proof of claim that somebody signs on is fraudulent, it's going to cost the bank $500,000, and they could be arrested because that's a felony filing this fraudulent documentation in a federal bankruptcy courts, just so everyone knows. And the most important thing of the bankruptcy filing is the automatic stay. Nobody can do anything. Not the sheriff, not another judge, nobody. There's an automatic stay in place, and if they do send you a letter, if they make that phone call, you can go after them for damages. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? How do you find the proof of claim?
They have to file it. They have to file it in the bankruptcy. They have to prove you owe them money, that they own the loan, and they don't. They can't prove it because it's all fraudulent documentation. They originate the loans, and then they sell them off. They package them all. They pull them together, and they sell them in Wall Street to investors in Japan or in China or in Russia, probably the Russians own your loan, and nobody knows who owns it. They pieced it up. They cut it up into little pieces, which is called securitization, and that is fraudulent because you never signed for this. You never accepted these terms, and you don't know, and nobody knows, not even the judge knows, who really you owe the money to. So why are they stealing my house? Let them come forward and tell me who owns the note and the deed of trust or mortgage, and they will not do it. And that's the fraud in the United States. And these judges could have stopped this back in 2008 when Kamala Harris, I wrote Attorney General Kamala Harris of California, and she acted immediately. And I wrote the Attorney General in New York, and he acted immediately to stop MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, as a fraudulent straw company it was. And to this day, these rulings from New York and Chicago are now being avoided. They're putting aside. No, look, Google in your state lawsuits against the banks that are trying to foreclose on you. U.S. Bank, acting as a trustee, is fraudulent. All is fraudulent. They've already hit, in the city of Los Angeles, they had to pay millions of dollars in fines for what they were doing because it's all fraudulent documentation they've created. So file your bank and just wait until they...
You've got so much good information that I just love this, and we're going to probably have to create another day during the week to have your organization just talk to families. I mean, this is, if you can save this man's home, it's worth every bit of it to me because we lost all of ours as a family, and so if I can save anybody's home, I'm there as well, period. So good.
Well, let me ask you a question. About inheritances, when our parents die and the courts, and there's so many of us, that the courts are not closing out the estate. Do you have, Ed, something to inform everybody about that?
Yes. What you should do is avoid this. And, again, I'm not an attorney, and I wish Attorney Kenneth were on. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not experienced in probate more than what I talk to the people, the homeowners I modify loans for. And I always suggested put your name on the deed of trust with your parents. In case something happens to them, you're on the deed of trust and you control the asset. Okay? That's what you have to do, and you avoid the courts that way because no judge has to get involved between you and your parents. And when they pass away, the home passes to you. That's what everyone should be doing right now.
And you have to do a rider survivorship is from what I heard you have to do.
Right. Exactly.
No, but my question was, once the parents have died, like in my position, and it was also in Lulu's position, and many of us, the courts are not closing the estate and giving us our inheritance. How do we handle that?
Well, there's got to be a will, and the will is interpreted by the attorney and the courts. So, I mean, if you don't have a will, then it's very difficult.
I tell you what, right now, Ed, most of them judges, they don't care about wills and trusts in a probate court. I have been through up and down with ours. Nobody cared. Not until after my mom died, and suddenly they found out they talked about a trust, but it's ridiculous how they don't honor that like they should.
Then you have
they're
to
not
that.
We'll talk more.
File a complaint against.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about that. Let's get to some more callers, and we're going to be doing quite a few more shows on these topics, everybody. So this isn't going away anytime soon. We're going to bring in a 612 number. We have a question or a comment. And we also have Robin with us too, by the way, Robin. He's been sitting here listening. He's here with us. 612, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, this is 612. I've got a couple of questions. My mom died in a guardianship, and now they've got my husband in a fraudulent guardianship. He's totally competent, and they're just after his money. Their favorite tool of guardians is they put a harassment restraining order against the person trying to rescue the person out of guardianship. How do you deal with the fraudulent harassment restraining order? It just cripples you from being able to do anything else.
You go to the sheriff.
Maybe Ed can answer that. And then we are going
to
get Kenneth on here too one day.
With my husband next kind of years, and this is all fraud. And then you make noise, and you do videos, and you send it to Americans Against Foreclosure, and we'll put it all over the Internet. That's what you do. We have to stand up for one another. 20 million homes have been stolen since 2008. Now they're stealing the elderly's. All these people that I did the modifications for on their loans to stay in their homes, now they're elderly. Now they're in their 70s and their 80s, and they haven't taken the measures they should have taken to protect their assets. Now they're being kidnapped away into these homes, and nobody can stand up for them. That's wrong. The whole system is wrong. It's failed us. The whole system has failed us. But you make noise. You go to the sheriff. You go to the,
I didn't catch. What,
tell everybody.
What am I supposed to do? We've been to three hearings on the matter. I don't understand what you mean by go to the sheriff. What is the sheriff going to do?
What are the hearings about, though?
We went to three hearings on the harassment restraining hearing on the harassment restraining order.
Well, the guardian did it allegedly on behalf of my husband.
My husband testified 3 days that I have never harassed him.
You don't need your husband. You need other witnesses to come in. The whole neighborhood that's known him, all his friends, his family. You have 1,000 people to tell that judge, look, don't touch this man and don't touch his wife. And you watch how things change very quickly in that courtroom. And you have people, thousands of people.
The judge just ruled again. The judge just ruled on the 14th of March. So we're appealing the
ruling. The judge is in on it. He's probably getting out of the house being sold.
And I know that you just contacted me earlier. And I'm going to put you in touch with, I think it's Becky. Is it Harbor that had her husband take?
I know Becky. I know Becky. Yes. I'm already in touch with her, but nothing's working. They've got a harassment restraining order against me. If I go on my husband's property, I will be arrested and put in prison.
Yes, of course they will, and they will do it too, unless you stop them. This is worse than the mafia. You know the Italian mafia?
I don't know how to stop them.
Ed, this is what I want to have her get in touch with you after this show, and maybe we can guide her. You know, because remember, none of us are attorneys here. We're just doing this
I know, Luann, but we can't go to the courts with this. That's not what this is about. This is about us, our neighbors, our people around us, standing up with us because they're next. This is what the Nazis did. They'd come into the homes. They'd kill one family so the next one would do what they said. This is worse than that situation right now. These judges are all in on it. They're all corrupt, all of them. I mean, maybe we'll save one or two, but that's it. And the whole system is corrupt. And Biden knows about it. And the attorney general that he put in there is even worse than all the others. Because we are the American people, not them. We pay their salaries. They're there because of us. Don't let them steal your home and your husband's home and everything you work for, because that's what they're going to do. That's what they
have in mind. Well, I need to know what to do specifically.
This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absurd.
Yeah.
Can I get a hold of him then, Ed?
There is no winning. There is no winning.
What's true? Everybody knows it, but nobody's willing to say anything. Everyone's going to take a bullet in silence. No. We've got to stand up for our neighbors. We've got to go out there and talk to them and tell them, look, my neighbor's next door 80 years old, and I talk to him every day, and I know who they are. Anybody tries to touch them, I'm going to call the rest of the neighbors. We're going to be around that house, and nobody's going to touch them. This is absolute corruption at the worst stage. And you make videos. You send me a video. Send it to ed@axj.com explaining what you just said to me over the phone, over here, over this show. I'll publish it on our website all over the United States. And they'll see you.
Ed,
and they'll know who you are. And
what was your website?
Okay, say Ed. Say that one more time. Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Say your email one more time.
Yes. Ed, E-D, at A as in Apple, or A as in Actions, X is an X-ray, and J is in Jack, axj.com. Send me your
Thank
email.
You.
Here,
Thank
don't
you.
Mention it. Video.
Yeah.
Do just
Everybody
a
five-minute
video.
Listening. Yeah, send him
a
five-minute video.
That's it. That's all I want to hear.
At axj.com. Ed at axj.com. And
state, what county? What state and county?
I'm in Ramsey County, Minnesota. Ramsey County,
Minnesota. Okay, we have people out there. We have people in Minnesota. Yes, yes, very corrupt state. Very corrupt state along with Florida. New York's not so much because they have what's called a judicial state. So they have to file the complaint to steal the house, and they never get away with it there. The judges are very tough in New York. But Minnesota's corrupt. Wisconsin's corrupt. We have homeowners there. We got across the United States. But what I'm telling you is nothing compared to reality. And people don't talk to one another. They can't. They're isolated. That's what they do. They threaten you. These guys come in and threaten you. threaten your family. They threaten everything you have and everything you work for, and you're going to lose it unless you act now and you make those videos. Send them to us. We'll publish them.
Gosh, like I'm saying, where were you 10 years ago when we lost all of our properties?
I was helping.
I think about that all the time now.
Anymore, you know, and I'm
and I'm
going
to be putting
it.
Videos on yours too. What happened to my family too? So, get a hold of me.
Well,
I have your text, and I'll get a hold of you. I'll let you get a hold of Ed after the show as well. Okay, so just bear with us. Okay.
Thank
Any
you.
Other important questions? I really do have
okay.
to run. Anybody else?
Okay, 720. Let's bring in a 720 number. 720. I also want to talk to everybody about. We do have a guardian that's going to be sentenced this Friday. Here in Colorado, by the way. I want to talk to everybody about that. I'm in Colorado that we're getting one that's going to be convicted. So I'm excited to tell everybody this in a minute. First of all, we're going to take the 720 number.
What? This is very serious. Convicted of what?
So I'm going to get that up in just a second. Yes.
Okay.
He's,
okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to bring in a 720 number first and then bring this information on.
Okay. Thank you.
720?
Yeah, hi, Luann.
Hi. How you
okay,
doing?
Okay, I'm not sure if it's me or Dave Wells.
No. Yeah. No, we're here.
We're live.
We're here.
Okay, so hi, this is Lang. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Lang.
Hi, Lang. What's
I
going
want
on?
To tell Ed kudos. Ed gave me some amazing information about recusing the judge, Todd Breesman, in Jefferson County for the violations of racketeering in the probate court. Ed, thank you so much.
So
you
much,
read
so
my
so
first
much.
Draft, but you didn't see the second draft because the second draft I crucified him.
yes.
Here's what I'd like to kind of send out there to everybody. We need to start naming names. You need to name names of where you're from, the county you're in, the judges you're dealing with, the guardians you're dealing with, the conservators or public administrators you're dealing with. We need names on these people because
Excellent.
These people,
Excellent.
Just
We're
to say
right.
that,
there
oh, the judge
please.
Is doing this and the judge is doing that. You know what? What judge are you talking about? I want to find out who else is in my county of Jefferson County that's dealing with Todd Breesman out of the Jefferson County court system. This man is a sociopath. He can lie. He can sit up there in his bench, and he can tell lies without any conscience and crucify and put my mother into an incarcerate my mother into a nursing home where she dies, where they murder her. We need to start using the words that are affecting our lives. My mother was murdered by the guardians, Aaron Custer-Dewar of Human Network Services out of Denver, Colorado, and I'm tired of this pussyfooting around. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people like Braveheart. I don't deal in the soft judgment call. I'm so over it. I want these people to be put on the stand. I want them prosecuted and put into jail. And I'm tired of just dipsy-footing around this, the issues. Call the
right,
name,
so
and let's get these people on the stand and get them prosecuted.
Totally agree. 100%. Most of Americans are with you.
Sorry, I'm just over it. Thank you. Ed, you were awesome. You gave me an amazing amount of information.
Right. Yeah, okay, so let's bring on another 720 number. But I wanted to say something, though. We do have a conviction here coming in Colorado, and this is amazing
from where?
News. From El Paso
A conviction
County.
From where?
Yes.
We have a conviction. We have a lady that is going to be going up for conviction. So hold on. Let me get the information here. Her name is... It's El Paso County, 9th Division, Judge William Mueller. Andrea Boveas served as a professional guardian for nearly a decade in Colorado Springs area. While 100 of complaints were made against Ms. Boveas and her employer, Elliot and Zbars, she was originally charged with 10 Class 3 felony counts. Friday, we hear the details of her plea deal 2 years after her arrest. Victim Bavader, an intrepid investigator and activist, Barb Dowski is going to speak at that sentencing. I just wanted to say that we do have someone going to be sentenced here Friday.
Yeah.
The first. Yeah.
Okay.
Scare the heck out of that.
So we have another call, 720.
Do a Zoom meeting.
Before our show ends,
720. Can we see it live? Can we get the link and we can see it all live?
Yes, I've got the link. I got the link yet. I'll be sending it to you.
Okay, perfect.
I've been up on Facebook. I'll be sending it to you, okay?
Okay, please. Yes, we'll publish it all over the website. Yes. Denver, Colorado,
okay,
right?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
We have another 720 number, and we got to talk fast because our show is about ready to end. 720?
Is that me?
Yep, that's you.
Oh, I didn't hear I'm muted. Hey, what a great show, guys.
Thank you.
Dr. Stevie was one of the better shows I've ever, a lot of great, great movement. I wanted to say, though, with the conviction of the Guardian, you spread that word out. That's going to be Friday. I'm going to California. I'll be in a court date on April 12th. Is that the same court date that we have in
legislation office?
Legislation office?
No, from what I heard, it's the 19th, but I'm not sure. I have to contact them to find out what's going on. I've been in contact with Channel 7. I've been in contact with Representative Kim Ransom. I've been in contact with everybody because there's been so much in the Office of Professional Guardianship here in Colorado is under kind of like an investigation trying to find out what's going on all that because they okayed Office of Public Guardian here and it's killed 14 people. So there's a big scrutiny going on about that in our legislation. So I've got all that news going on here in Colorado. So it is opening up here big time in Colorado what's really been going on. I really do believe. Hey, Robin, say hello. You haven't said hardly anything
Robin.
Today.
Anyway, I just want to mention opening Actions for Justice in Colorado, Actions for Justice Denver. We need members. So just whoever's interested in joining us, we're gonna stop this. What's going
okay,
on?
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we can't wait to join you. I did want to point out one thing. Someone was talking about Bond, right? Yes. Go after the sorority bond. But 9 times out of 10, like in my estate, they say, well, there's not enough liquidity to put a bond, and the judge buys it. So that's how you know they're in cahoots. Okay, that's number one. And you should, attest that and say, okay, you don't have bond.
I want names. I want to know what you're calling from. I want to know who the
exactly. And I want to make sure if everybody's listening.
Names of the guardians. I want to know the names of the conservators. We need names. So we can start.
I'm going to send out the webinar to everybody. Were you at the last one and they didn't recognize me, Luann, in Los Angeles County?
Right.
You were there. And then here I am waving my hand to David and Greg Wells.
They didn't recognize us.
So we're going to make sure that we're all recognized. It has to be singly. And if not, I'll email you guys again.
Exactly.
I'll email you guys and say, hey, there he is waving his hand. He's David Wells. He's right there.
Juan, I have to hurry.
He's right there in the court date, and you're trying to pass.
Hey. Everybody, we are going to be ending this show tonight. We are going to say goodnight to all of our listeners. You have been listening to Faceless Radio. Ed, we cannot thank you enough for coming on to our show. Yes, we're going to be opening a chapter here in Colorado. I'll be in touch with you about that. Dr. Zena Crenshaw, thank you for coming in. Thank you. You have a lot of valuable information with American United International. And, of course, we will be getting Kenneth Ditkowski back on our show. We will be getting him.
At the earliest episode.
We might even do a special on that when we get him on. So I'll keep everybody informed on Facebook and through emails and everything. But until then, Ed, thank you. Zena, thank you. Thank you to my co-host, Hillary Hoag, Marcy Freeman, Robin Austin. You have been listening to Faith Radio. Remember, all of our episodes are archived at Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. You can hit the follow button there, and it'll remind you of our shows weekly. Remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived, and the show can be found at this link anytime. And if anyone misses the show, they can view it at their own leisure. So make sure people know that the link is good even after the show as a post-recorded option. You may share the link to friends and family and can be found on Faces Radio, on Hidden Truth Revealed channel, on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you're listening to Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Faces on Hidden Truth Revealed. Transparency, what does that say that, Robin?
Justice requires transparency and accountability.
And giving up is not an option. And if you can't face me, face us. Everybody, good night. We'll see you again next week.
Good night. God bless. Gonna,
God bless, everybody. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.